Riders on the Storm.
I'm Dan Abnett, and you're listening to Sean Hammer. Hello everybody, and welcome to Sean Hammer, episode 72. You have to forgive me. No, don't forgive me. Screw it. Having a hard time speaking today a little bit, but no big deal. On today's episode, we are not going over any White Dwarf, even though the new one came out. But it will be, it wouldn't let me download in my iPod, and I've become a spoiled bastard, and I want White Dwarf in my iPod. And I don't think I'm going to buy this one because it looks Hobbit-orientated. I have a Lord of the Rings miniature game set. I got my Rohan army. I don't play the damn thing. Not even worried about the Hobbit. I mean, I don't see, you know, hopefully it's true skirmish, but hey, who knows? We're not going to go over it. You want to play Hobbit, in my opinion, pick up the WizKids Hobbit figures. They put on a nice box set and a lot of figures. You can get your Hobbit on that way, and I think it's a lot easier and better for your pocketbook. So, that's that. Let's see. I know I'm jumping right into this and going right into gaming, but let's see what I've done. Well, No Man's Land event for HeroClix is out, so I ran two events for that. Well, one event for No Man's Land, one for the Batman. Had pretty good turnout, so it's pretty cool. I like HeroClix. Sorry. I talk about them once in a while. At least won't go over stuff yet, right? We got that, and a buddy of mine, Tim, he had painted my Von Chill crew. Looked pretty nice. I don't have to paint them. He did a good job, and they're ready to play. All I'm waiting on now is for the strong arm suit to come out so I can run that and hopefully wreck some face. Let's see. Today's episode, we will be going over the riders. And this will be all four riders plus Leviticus. Now, I warn you, I'm not an expert on the riders, and I only really own one right now until I buy the other ones. And the one I do own is a mechanical rider because I thought that'd be cool to go with my Colette crew when I play Colette. But, to be honest with you, kind of intimidated by Colette, so I haven't really pimped her out yet. Started thinking about painting. I put them on morgue bases. I was like, you know, a little story, you know, about Colette going into the morgue and stealing back a mannequin that was taken from him. And I don't know if I'm going to keep that in that little story in my head, or if I'm going to go with a standard, you know, drab, you know, the wooden stage thing, because they're still showgirls, so I probably will do that. Let's see, and that's about it. Let's say we're going to the riders, so we'll start with the riders, then we'll go into Leviticus. Halfway through, for the commercial break, is actually going to be a little segment from Screaming Heretics. They recorded the Chaos Rabbit, which is like the White Rabbit. It's pretty entertaining. I think I like the Raiders Gotta Go version that they did last time, but I'll play it, let you guys think about it. Want to give a shout out to some podcasts I've been listening to. Bill from the Gamers Lounge, they've been doing well. Also Malafools, I've been listening to them every time they download something, so I have to say right now I think that they're my favorite Malafool podcast. And Through the Breach, pretty entertaining. Like Malifaux a lot. And I had made the decision to go to Gen Con this year. I haven't registered anything yet. Maybe team tournament. But I'm going to take some Malifaux, do some interviews with some people, meet some other podcasters, and hopefully some fans. So if you're going to be at Adepticon, I'll post the days I'll be up there. And look for me. I'm going to try to have some shirts, giveaways, a little swag. And that's about it for that. So without further ado, let's go into the riders. We're going to start with the riders first in Rising Powers, because that's when we first experienced them. And going through the book, of course, we will go through, I believe it will be the Dead Rider. Boom, pa-da-boom. The Dead Rider it is. Now, a lot of people have been using this guy, especially Rezzer Cruz. He's pretty snazzy. He's one I got on hold at the local hobby store, so I'll probably pick him up this week, perhaps. Then, I have to order the other two, the hooded and the pale. But the Dead Rider, he brings in at 10 soul stones. He is a construct, undead and unique. Let's see, he's got walk 6, 10 charge, height 3, willpower 6, casting a 5, defense 5, 9 wounds. Now, this guy's got a scythe with a range of 3, which is coming pretty handy that he can pretty much hold objectives and fight people off objectives pretty easy because he's got a 3-inch aura with his weapon of any range, so, I mean, any direction, so that's good. He's got a CB of 6 with a Kneading Crows with damage 3, 4, 5. Now, granted, he's pretty cool stat-wise, if you're looking at that. Nice 5 damage and severe. His talents, though, hard to wound. He's immune to influence and he regeneration 1. And he's an undead construct, so when you kill this model, it generates 1 corpse counter and 1 scraps counter. Like all the riders, they'll have phases or whatever they want to call them. He's got a natural purpose. It depends how many wounds he has. At start of its activation, it gains benefit to one of the 3 purposes that will go through. Purpose with 8 through 9 wounds. While this model has this many wounds, it gains pass-through and scout. Not too shabby. Purpose engaged, 5 through 7 wounds. He gets fast and terrifying 13. Probably I like that one. And purpose destroy, 1 through 4 wounds. The model will gain melee expert, hard to kill, poison 2. I don't know. His best one is when he's almost dead. He's got flurry with his scythe for his actions. He's mounted combat. This will allow the... I'll probably only repeat it once here, but it'll go through for all the riders because I think every one of them has mounted combat. You can push this model up to his charge. This model may interrupt his push to make one side strike, receives a plus flip to the damage flip. Continue to push after resolving the strike, so it allows you to hit and run as you go through. And that's pretty cool. I mean, this guy's got a lot of benefits and solely in a crew with just him, but it's pretty cool. I think the mounted combat is going to be pretty decent running all 4. Haven't done it yet. He's got drag along with the scythe, and this allows you, he needs a crow, which he comes with. When you make a scythe strike, while using mounted combat action, push the target base contact, finish after the mounted combat action. So it allows you to hit him, pull him. Pretty sweet. And he's got spells. This is a 0 spell. Must be cast before taking any other action. This model may suffer or heal up to 2 wounds. That's pretty cool. And gains appropriate purpose under unnatural purpose for its new wound total. This model loses any other purpose that it gains. So that's pretty cool. Allows you to go up or down on the chart depending on what you need. A little bit of control. This is a casting cost 9 spell. And he's got cast at 5. So it's not going to be that too hard for the Dead Rider to actually pump out this spell at all. Looking at the model himself, it's basically, I'm guessing that these riders kind of come out as the horsemen of apocalypse, and of course this one would be death. I mean, thematically he fits. He's pretty much of a tank of the riders. He can change his stuff. He's got pretty good speed. Let's see, fast melee expert. He only has 1 melee attack. No range offenses for this model. Let's see. Primarily, you're going to probably be attacking with mounted combat, which is pretty decent. You know, like the hit and run attack on everything. You know, you can automatically drag because it's trigger hits when you do it. Nice trick to do this is to hit somebody with the mounted combat with side, drag them 4 inches closer to other riders that are maybe already there and just can beat on them and or stuff. Of course, he self-heals. He's got the regeneration, plus he's got the spell to adjust his purpose if he wants. Hard to wound, too, is nothing to shake a stick at. He's got hard to kill on top of that. I mean, it's pretty decent. Of course, he's got unit influence, so you're not going to be luring this guy across the table. Now, with this guy, the unnatural purpose is the primary thing to be concerned with. course, it adds additional abilities to the rider. You just gotta remember that the Dead Rider only benefits for one stage at a time, but he does have a zero action called the Just Purpose, of course. I don't know. It's just a hit or miss. You gotta learn how to actually focus with this guy about what you wanna do. I think out of the riders, he might be the strongest rider. He's pretty cool looking. Looks like he's gonna be a pain in the ass. Unfortunately, I think he's metal, maybe. Might be plastic. Not plastic, but resin. But we'll see. Yeah, that's all I got for the Dead Rider. There'll be more about him once we get to Leviticus, so let's jump to the next rider in the Rising Power book. And that would be the Mechanical Rider. I picked this one up because it looked, when this book came out, the Mechanical Rider looked the coolest. I love Dead Rider. I'm not gonna lie. Kinda like it. It's got the mechanical horse, chick on the back. And I have a Colette crew. My only Arcanist crew, actually. My wife has an Arcanist crew, being Rasputina, but, you know, I don't know. She is 8 soul stones. Construct unique. She's running around with a 6 walk, 10 charge, height 3, war power 6, casting 5, defense 4, 9 wounds herself. She's got a saber with a range of 2, CB6 with the book, 3, 4, 5 damage. And this one actually has a range attack, chain spear, range of 8, CB6, 1, 2, 5 damage. She's got armor plus 1, armor is always good, immune influence, so there again we have immune influence, so that's awesome. She's got the power cycle, and this is based on what turn it is. Instead of wounds like the Dead Rider, she's got powering up stage 1, 1 through 2 state, for the turn. She gives her nimble pass through. She's got full power stage 3 through 4, melee expert plus 1, and CB with a tome, brutal weather saber, what she comes with a brutal, I mean what she comes with a book, tome, whatever you want to call it. Powering down stage turn 5 or later gives her armor 3 plus harder kill. Pretty nice, huh? She's got Wicked, so model strikes against designated models deal damage in addition to ending the action. She's got Flurry with her saber for another action, mounted combat, just like the Dead Rider. She's got Drag, Chain Spear. After this weapon affects damage on the target, she can drag along just like the other one. And she has Power Manipulation. Casting cost 9. Spell must be cast before any other action. Nominate a number 2 or higher, or lower than the current turn, and that's her power cycle. Kind of like the Dead Rider with his power cycle based on his wounds, except hers is a manipulation of what turn it is. Now, as for my Horseman of Apocalypse, I'm going to gather that she would be time. that's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. She's got pretty good mobility. She's got nimble and pass-through in the first 2 turns of the game, so that's pretty decent. Let's see. She's got longest range of all 4 riders, which she does. Only have the only range. She's got nimble pass through. Can be early, you know, pretty good to beginning of the game. Get her where you want to be. Excuse me. The saber attack's pretty the best option for this rider, with a CB6, 3, 4, 5 damage. No triggers associated with this attack to start, but it gets one. And since she starts with a tome on her CB, you know, her minimum damage does go up to 4 or more, depending on how many tomes you get total. She also gains melee expert during full power of her stage, so that's cool. And she has the flurry action available, which means she can make up to 4 attacks, you know, some really good damage potential, so that's pretty decent. Kind of worked out with my Colette crew, just because it worked. She's Wicked, so, you know, disengaging will, excuse me, you'll take some damage and injury action, so that's pretty sweet. She does have a ranged attack, so that makes her, is circumstantial, but the drag trigger on this weapon is the primary reason for using it. She's a little bit more difficult to keep alive sometimes. Let's see. Sorry. She only has defense 4 and a defense to, she had minimum damage thanks to armor. Those wounds, they can still go pretty quick with armor 1. Thankfully, though, she does have armor, and when she gets the Bowery downstage, the armor is plus 4 with harder kills, so that's pretty cool. As well with the other riders, mutant influence, so that's a nice defense, so you're not going to be lured across the table. As for their stages, just like with the Dead Rider, it's going to be circumstantial. More practice makes perfect with this model. They'll basically determine what you need to run with and how you actually want to go about things. I completely skipped, the Hooded Rider, so we'll get back to him in a little bit. Next up, we will go over the Pale Rider, so give me 1 second as I go through a coughing spell. Alrighty, up next we have the Hooded Rider. Now this is an incarnation of what I would say War from the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. He's got a giant freaking sword and he looks like he'd be causing a ruckus, a war, maybe, whatever. He also looks like he'd be something off a Death Clock video. So you can put that out there. He's going to cost you 8 soul stones. He's just a construct. Of course, this is the Neverborn Rider. He's got Walk 6, 10 Charge, Height 3, Willpower 5, Casting a 5, Defense 4, 9 Wounds. He's got 2 range with a Saber, CB 6 with a Mask, and 3, 4, 5 damage. Now, he's going to be one of our least amount of rules dudes right here. He's got Immune to Influence, Passage of Time, and Regeneration 1. He's got Flurry, Mounted Combat, and he's got Chase the Sun. Now, everyone knows what Immune Influence is, and Flurry, and Mounted Combat, so we'll get to his guts here. He's got Passage of Time. You should select one of the following at the start of the game: morning, noon, or night. Let's see. Morning, the model receives Blinding Blade. Models hit by the Saber receives Slow. Cleansing Light, the model gains Hard to Wound 1. He can claim Noon, which this model receives, Read the Flames. So this means that model's hitting this model with melee attacks suffer 2 damage. He's got Flaming Brand. Saber strikes inflict plus 1 damage per mask in the model's combat total. And let's not forget that he's got a mask as a trigger. So that's pretty cool. He's got Knight. This model cannot be targeted by ranged attacks. Pretty nice, especially against Gremlins. He's got Midnight Blade. Most models hit by the Sable Strike cannot target this model during the next activation. He regenerates 1. He's got a spell of casting 9, just like the other ones. If the Hooded Rider was affected by Noon, Noon ends and receives Night. If the Hooded Rider was affected by Night, Night ends and then receives Morning. If the Hooded Rider was affected by Morning, Morning ends and is affected by Noon. So it goes into phases and stuff. So this guy's coming out morning, noon, or night. He's pretty beasty. Don't really care for his horse for the snakeheads, but the guy on back is totally badass looking. So that's his stats and everything. Going over basically what I think of the Dead Rider. I don't know. I'm going to like him. I do have Neverborn. I don't know if I'll plan on playing the Dead Rider. For 8 Soul Stones, he may not be bad. I'm going to feel my teddy once I get my teddy done. Like I said, I would say he's War. He's got the same Walk and Charge. Mounted Combat. He's got Salad Attack of 6 with 3, 4, 5 damage flips. So that's pretty cool. You can give slow to defenders using inflicting additional damage or cause models hit by the Saber to be unable to target him during the next activation. He's got flurries like all the other riders and mounted combat. I do have to say, since he was actually the first rider, I think they were made after him. This guy can be somewhat difficult to keep alive. He does have 9 wounds, 8 soul stones. His defense 4. If you focus on him, you can kill him out pretty quick. He only has regeneration 1. Let's see. His Passage of Time abilities. Pretty cool. You can make it so you're not being shot to death if you picked the right passage. So, not too bad. I've heard a lot of other people using him. And use that, not be able you know, be shot is pretty good. Yeah, like I said, if your opponent uses a lot of ranged attacks, like Perdita, Von Chill, Rasputin, or the Gremlins, start with Night. If your opponent uses lots of melee attacks, like Lilith and McMorning, start with Noon. Let's see. Just like with all the other riders, you have to learn how to win. I mean, how to use their passage abilities, whether or not you're going to go with, which way to do it. As an individual cruise, I think it's a little bit harder to focus on what passage or turn. Well, the turn, you can manipulate all of them. So I think in individual crews, the riders are a little bit harder to keep alive or keep what you want done with them. I think if you're playing an all-rider crew, like I'm talking about today, it gives you a little bit more flexibility that you can run with everything. Each one using their different stage effects that they can do, and where they can jump here and there and manipulate based on, you know, if you've been beaten up by range attacks, you know, you have one. I mean, it's just possibilities, I think, are greater when you run all four riders plus Von Chill rather than riders by themselves. But we'll get more into that after we go over Von Chill. And like I said, my sorry attempt, but I'm giving it to you. Last but not least, we have the Pale Rider. Now, this guy is obviously Pestilence, is what we have left. And with a horse being pale, Pestilence horse is pale, and all that. I think model-wise, if you were good at sculpting flame and everything, you could turn this guy into sweet Ghost Rider, Carter Slade, like off the first Ghost Rider movie. I think I'll try that, but I don't know. Don't know, probably just paint up as it is. This guy is Contract Soulless. Unique. Let's see, 9 soul stones. He's got 6 walk, 10 charge, height 3, willpower 6, casting 5, defense 5, wounds 9. Kind of like all the other ones. He's got bulletproof 1, so he comes with a little bit advantage against range attack. Now we go right into his chasing death. This is at the start of model's activation. It gains the benefits of the 3 stages. The stage and model depends on how many models have been killed or sacrificed during the turn before. So if no models have been killed or sacrificed, the Pale Rider is going to have Hungry for Death. It gets CB Ram Critical Strike with its final moments. And final moments, his weapons damage flips receive a plus 1. Final moments is also his gun. Sorry, I should go over that. Range of 12, CB 6 for the Ram, 2, 3, 4 damage. Stage 2, he has Revealing and Death. This will be if 1 to 2 models are killed or sacrificed this turn. He gains armor plus 1. Pretty cool, pumping up with a bulletproof, giving a little bit more survivability. Rapid fire. Well, since he's carrying a gun, pretty decent. Let's see, he's got Glutted on Death. 3 plus models killed or sacrificed this turn. Let's see. He receives Fast, plus 1, and Harder Wound 2. Put together with a Bulletproof, pretty nice. He's got Gunfighter with his final moment, so he can fight with his long rifle. Immune Influence, of course. Final moments for his weapon. This model heals 2 wounds each time it kills a model with his weapon. Pretty nice. Go plinking off some gremlins, get your wounds back up there. He's also got Mounted Fusillade for 2 actions. Push his model up to its charge. Interrupt its push action to make final moment strike. Continue the thing. So it's kind of, it's exactly like a Mounted Combat, but it's Mounted Fusillade. He's got Ricochet as a trigger. It needs a mask because he's got the ram already. After damaging the defender with final moment strike, another model within 3 inches of the defender suffers 1, 2, 4 damage. Not too bad. Hit him in the head. Ricochet off him. He's got for spells, vision, and death, just like all the other riders, same casting. It may only be cast as its first activation. This model takes during its activation. The model increases or decreases its chasing death stage number by 1. This model gains benefits of new stage under chasing death. not by any other stage. So he's pretty cool. I know I was excited to see him when I got the Twisting Fates book. For when I played Guild, I got the Ortega's crew. I don't know if it's, I haven't ran him yet. I gotta buy him, so I don't know if he's gonna be beneficial or if I should just stay with my Ortega's. Excuse me. As for going over the rider. Okay, well, let's see, the Guild, you know, the Pale Rider's fast moving range combatant. He's got, you know, some clever ways to increase his offense ability. So that's pretty cool. And mobility resilience. You know, he can be pretty much a hard hitting range attack or fairly resilient and fast and expensive objective grabber. Like most of the riders, he's fragile for his cost because that's a lot of points to be sticking in your models. And I know I just said that the riders work better as a whole crew, but be careful. If you ever do play him as a full crew, that's expensive crew and not a lot of models. For offense, the Pale Rider's pretty good attack is Final Moments, which is the name for his big rifle. So it's got pretty good CB with 6 of rams, also with a gunfighter, so it's pretty decent. Let's see. You can get rapid shot, fast, so that's pretty cool. Mono fuselage. You can be pretty resilient, depending how you play him. Basically, he's got a lot of tricks. But as with all the other riders, it all depends on the stages that you're at. I think with one, you put a little bit more. He might get lost in a crew. I think with any of the riders, what you want them to do, because of soul stone cost, and a crew all to themselves of just riders, it makes you focus, I think, on the stages and gives you a little bit, makes you a little bit more aware of exactly what, you know, you want to do and how each rider is affected, and allows you not to forget it as much, and your riders actually won't get lost in the fray, so to speak. So that's 4 riders and a little bit about them. Go over probably my final thoughts in the end. But we're going to take a second and listen to Chaos Rabbit by the Screaming Heretics, and we'll be back with Leviticus and my closing thoughts.
I'm not slaughtering the Imperials. I like to kick back and relax with the Screaming Heretic Podcast. You can find them at www.screamingheretic.com. Find them on iTunes, subscribe, download and rate them. Go now!
Oh, we're back, and that was a little musical interlude with Leviticus Avatar of Entropy. Now, Leviticus. Here's my thoughts for one. Then I'm going on with my rider crew. I'm going to probably put out the fact is I'll play him in special scenarios. I want each of the riders anyway to play randomly with a crew if I decide to have them. So the riders themselves owning all four isn't a bad thing. Now Leviticus, the Avatar, I'm never going to own Leviticus. I'm sorry. I just not really care for the regular model, but I like the synergy with the horsemen. So, try and talk to the guys that I play with. Maybe we'll go play a 30 Soul Stone game where we'll start with the avatars on the board. I've heard people play that. You know, maybe you pay for the avatar price and you start with them on the board, so you skip the manifest requirements. I'm not fond of Leviticus myself. This does not mean that he is bad. It just means that I don't particularly like his playstyle, but I want to run him with the horsemen. Now, with Leviticus, he's an avatar, of course. Rider, soulless, and he's a spirit. He's got a walk of 6, 10 charge, just like all the other horses, height 3, willpower 8, 7 cast, with a star, which we'll get there. Defense 4, 10 wounds. Now he's got death touch for his attack, which is range 1, CB 5, 0, 1, 12 damage. Yeah, I said it, 12. He's a dick. Like I said, we'll get to it. For his abilities, he's got Destructive Infusing. He makes healing this model makes a healing flip. When a friendly rider is killed, and any model killed, it is a melee attack. So when a rider kills the model, he gains a wound. He makes a healing flip. Fate's Master. This model may discard any number of control cards at the start of activation. For each card discarded, this model's casting receives a suit from the discarded card until the end of its turn. So that's what a casting is. Allows him to have whatever he wants for casting. He's hard to kill. He's got Mark of Entropy. 10 aura. Enemy models taking the charge action suffer one wound after resolving his action. So don't charge him. You'll take one wound. He's the fifth rider. If this model is killed or sacrificed during a turn, at the end of the closing phase, its controller may place a Leviticus Avatar of Entropy in base with a friendly model with the rider characteristic. In play, both models immediately suffer 2 damage. Yep, can I say I'll be putting this guy coming back with a dead rider all the time so I get the auto heal? Maybe. He's got the Ground Trembles. While this model's crew has one or more of the following models in play, this model gains the following effects listed for that model. This is pretty cool. If you have the Dead Rider, Leviticus has Regeneration 1. If you have the Hooded Rider, this model gains Read the Flames. Remember that this model hitting model with melee attack suffers 2 extra damage. If you have the Mechanical Rider, gets +1 melee expert and +1 defense. And if you have the Pale Rider, CB receives the Crow. So it's pretty cool. I mean, right there we have definite synergy with the riders, as you can see. He's got Slow Dissipation. If this model has more than one wound at the end of the resolve phase, it suffers 1 wound. He's got Timi. While the model is in play, friendly dead rider, hooded riders, mechanical riders, and pale riders in play or entering play gain the rider characteristic to the end of the encounter. Which makes sense. I thought they all did have them, but they didn't. He's got the Unphantom Purpose. At the end of the draw phase, once per turn, this model's controller may discard any number of cards from your hand and draw equal numbers of cards. You suffer 1 for each card using this ability, 1 wound. So it doesn't matter because this guy's just going to keep coming back. And of course, he's got the regeneration with, you know, when you got the other riders on it. So, actions, he's got Arcane Understanding. You can inflict any numbers of wounds on this model. to draw an equal number of cards, and that's a zero action. So he's basically got really good card manipulation in his hand, of course. Rejuvenating Knowledge, his motto discards two controls cards. This motto makes a healing flip, so that's a one action. He's got Triggers with a crow. Remember, that is, Death Touch doesn't have the crow already, but if you have the Pale Rider, it does. After successfully hitting Defender with Death Touch Strike, discard up to three control cards, and the damage flip receives a plus for each card discarded. So you're really pushing to get in at 12, and I think a lot of times, for a good 70% of models, I can kill anything. I'm just saying. For spells, he has Necrotic Unmaking. His model suffers. Well, this will be a casting cost of 16, needing a crow, but remember, you can discard to get that. This model suffers wound. Target enemy model suffers 3 wounds. If the target is killed by the spell, it does not generate any counters, and this will allow you to summon one Steampunk Abomination in base contact before removing from play. So, if you're going to do a complete rider list while doing a Leviticus list, you probably should get a Steampunk Abomination or two. He's got Soul Harvest with a casting cost of 14 with a crow and a mask. When a living model within range is killed or sacrificed, this model gains one soulstone. Pretty nice. The Foretelling, 15 with a tome. Other friendly riders may immediately resolve their zero action as if they successfully casted it. So, this is pretty cool right here, because this will allow you, if you go last with Leviticus and you keep them within 8 inches of Leviticus, you can go through, adjust your purpose on the rider, go through, do what you need it to do, readjust it using the Foretelling, and probably pick that phase that's going to allow you to be more resilient during the enemy's turn, or when you're close, you know, it gives you a little bit more control. And his Bigum here for 20 with a mask and a star. He declares what rider you... This will allow you to summon a rider. And depending on what rider you want to summon, it depends on the extra suit you need. Crows for the Pale... Rams for the Pale Rider. Crows for the Dead Rider. Tomes for the Mechanic Rider. Masks for the Hooded Rider. Summon... So it allows you to do this once per turn, once per encounter, but allows you to summon a rider. That's pretty important, because if you're playing like a 30 soulstone game, you want to end up with some soulstones, and the points of the riders themselves are pretty substantial. So you're going to start, even if you play with the non-manifest, with the unmanifested one, you're only going to start with, 3 riders to summon a fourth. Depends how you want to do it. Me, myself, I would like to start with all of them, but the Dead Rider, summon him later because he's the most expensive. That's just me. Like I said, we're not going to go about manifesting. He's got pretty good mobility since he's on a horse. Let's see. He can die, come back, so it's pretty cool. He's pretty much a melee fighter as an avatar. His attack, of course, does have a massive damage curve, being 0 to 12. Let's see. Soul Harvest. Anyway, I don't know. I think I went over them pretty cool. He's got low defense. You know, I don't know. It's pretty cool. I'm going to give him a try. I haven't really given him a try. I haven't even looked at this model yet, but I'm going to buy it. So we will go through. And for one, say, Sean, the way you want to play this is very limited, because you'd have to agree with people just to play already avatared. I don't think it would be a problem. I think people will do it for fun. And this is what I'm playing this game for. Or at least this crew. I won't play this crew for competitive in any way, because, like I said, I'm not going to worry about manifesting them, because I'm not going with the regular on Leviticus. I'm just going to play with the avatar straight off the bat, if my opponents agree. So, say I'm wrong for doing it, I don't know. Like I said, each of the riders I'll be able to utilize in regular games with each of my other crews. I have a crew from every faction, so that's pretty cool. I think it's going to be fun. I think the look of all five riders on the table is going to be pleasant. It's going to allow me to use... I think using the Horseman crew is really going to get me to focus on using the different cycles. Well, it will, but it will also make me more in tune and proficient in using the cycles when I take the riders as independently, I mean, as extras in my regular crew. So I think that's going to be pretty cool, you know. It's just going to be badass. I mean, painting five models, play a game of Malifaux with five models, horses are cool to paint, and each one is either a demon or mechanical. Pretty sweet. I know my buddy Andrew Becker will probably play, because if he doesn't have to manifest his Perdita on whatever the hell she's on, he'll probably be up for it. So that's the riders, what I got. After I get them all, I'll post a picture up. I posted a picture of my crew that a buddy of mine, Tim, painted. He painted my Von Chill crew, so if you follow me on Twitter, go ahead and check that out. I'll try to put them on my Flickr page as soon as I get some better pictures, too. Still working on stuff, still not finishing stuff. Story of my life. But hopefully I get these all together. Christmas is coming up. I'm looking at getting maybe the rest of the riders and some Malifaux terrain. I'll post a link up future. I'm trying to try and get the guy on the site on the podcast to talk about his laser cut terrain. Screaming Heretics did have him on there, but I checked out his stuff. He's got like an old western town, and it's pretty sweet. Let's see, things coming up. I'm going to see if I can have the guys from Malifools and the guys from Cheetah Fates on. We'll talk some more Malifaux. Not really too worried about any 40k or fantasy for the rest of this year. Working slowly on my Blood Angels. I'm doing a Blood Angel army. I said that under my breath. I'm not proud of it, but I'm doing it. Getting rid of some Grey Knights. So if you have some Blood Angels you want to send my way, let's go ahead and talk. You want to be on a show? You want to do... You want to be a guest host one episode? Go ahead and contact me at SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. We'll do a Skype interview. You'll be on the show. We'll give me a topic you want to talk about. And you'll be on Sean Hammer if you really want to. Any questions or concerns, you can do the same way. Just go ahead and get a hold of me. I hope I didn't waste your time with this episode. And we're going to leave it with a musical finale from the Ghost Rider soundtrack. And this will be Ghost Rider in the Sky by Spiderbait. So enjoy until next time. If you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
Let's ride.